Are we starting right now? When are we starting, Mark?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. No, y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection.
There's something underneath your nose, Mark. What is the thing underneath your nose?
Are you talking about this thing right here?
The dark piece, yeah?
Yeah.
It's always been there. It's got the cameras near it.
I've is that a color the black marker?
Is that a little Hitler thing, or what is it going on there? What?
It's always right, been there.
I just wanted to clarify it wasn't a mosquito.
Really? It's always been there. It's just a shape of mine.
I'll do the Wilson podcast.
You've changed your angle as well. That's what
yeah, I've got a new desk, so yeah. It's got a bit of a curve on it now. Anyway, we're going.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 502 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, November 18th of 2018, I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy. Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. God, I hate mosquitoes. Joining me this week, we have Mr. Robin Tate.
Hey, Grunning. I'm glad to see you, Greg. And my heart goes out to all of you people in sunny, warm, too hot California that's suffering from those horrible, terrifying fires. But I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. So, hello, good evening. I'm glad everybody's safe. I'm glad that you're on the show.
Excellent, excellent. Also on the show today, fresh, clean, squeaky clean, I might add, Miss Nicole Radowski.
Hey, y'all. I am very squeaky clean. I had to wait on laundry.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining and taking the time to step out of the shower onto the podcast. We appreciate that.
With clothes on.
That was optional. We gave you the option, but we appreciate it regardless. Last but certainly not least, yeah, we have Mr. Mark Mosquito Wright on the podcast.
Hello, Greg. How are you feeling with that mosquito flying around your head?
Anxious. There's a giant mosquito in my office somewhere. Yeah. I have been keeping it closed up so I can find this stupid bug and kill it, and it's a fast mover.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys, obviously some of you are more familiar with mosquitoes or not. It's close. Yeah. It's close. Anyway, but sometimes they're fast, sometimes they're slow. The slow ones I love because you can kill them real easily. But every once in a while, they got all kinds of energy, and they're just zipping around. So yeah. So if I go apeshit, start swatting at things, knock my microphone over, it's not me imitating Robin. It's me doing battle with a fierce mosquito.
You're not going to know if it's a real mosquito or Milo.
Like Texas-sized.
Oh, I just hit the noise.
We've got some big mosquitoes out here, Nicole.
It's the noise. And they look or sound harder than they are. They're like these soft, dangly things, and but they sound. Oh, that noise is just puts fear of death in you. Fear of
For me, mosquitoes, like, I never really catch them biting me, so the after effects of mosquitoes suck, right? Mm-hmm. But the mosquito bites themselves don't bother me nearly as much as the sound, and it is that sound, and they manage. It's like a bird that sees a clean car. The timing, they just have the perfect timing. So you're just falling asleep and they buzz your ear. And then you're screwed because after that, they'll keep coming back. They keep coming back. And the only recourse you have is to turn on the lights and kill the mosquito. Doesn't matter what time of night it is. Doesn't matter if your spouse is asleep or not. You wake her up, you kill the mosquito.
Got users there.
Yeah, well.
Okay, you just put a bit of jam on her arm or something and tense
it. Judith gets me up in the middle of the night to kill a fly, and that's cruddy. It's like cruddy kid stuff. You might as well have been trying to catch it with chopsticks. So hard to get the wee bastards, chase them around. I can win the internet.
Flies also one of my least favorite insects out there. But this is not an insect podcast. This is a video game podcast. We are a mature video game community. So in a nutshell, we are a little bit off center, but a friendly, fun group of people. We invite you to come into our house, our video game podcast house, every weekend, Sundays at 4 p.m. on the West Coast. Sorry, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. I was going to say 4 p.m. on the West Coast. That would be a change. 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. in the UK. And if you happen to be in Central Time, it's 3 o'clock right now. Well, not really. But anyway. All right.
Hey, we've got to say, Mark, actually, I'm looking here at the Twitch feed.
Yeah.
And I like this new format with the bigger pictures and stuff. That's pretty good. Yeah. I like that.
Well, yes. We tried that for Show 500 and we got some feedback saying they quite liked it. And I don't know why we never did this in the first place because it is so much easier.
Yes.
No messing about with individual cams.
Noticeably easier. So
what do you think? I know we're talking sort of shop talk here, but do you think Skype has settled down a wee bit with these last couple of updates? Because the pictures were jumping all over the place for a while, so it seems to have settled down a wee bit.
Yeah, we didn't have a problem last week. Yeah. It worked fine last week.
No, yeah, that's great. Anyway, there you go.
It's working well for me this time, so who knows?
We look beautiful. We look gorgeous, and we can see each even more of each other now. It's lovely. Especially absolutely. Nicole with her clothes on. It's fantastic.
Again, always. Optional.
With my clothes on is always fantastic.
Also optional for Robin and Mark.
Oh, I'll take my whatever.
No, stay dressed.
All right, look, real quickly, you can find us, just to get some of this pre-stuff out of the way, you can find us on twitch.tv/OC podcast, on mixer.com/OC podcast, and now on youtube.com/OC podcast. Thank you, Mark Wright, for fixing that travesty. We're now consistent.
Well, Mark Wright.
The thieving bastard who took it was someone called Greg DeLacy.
The thieving bastard who took it?
Yeah. You had registered a YouTube channel called OC Podcast, which hasn't been used for a couple of years now. So, because I have your login details, I deleted that.
We did the whole G4T.
Yeah.
G4T.
Yeah, that's right. We had two separate channels.
Yeah.
Because we had more followers on G4T, I've just amalgamated that, and that's now the new podcast one.
Greg, what's our email address?
I don't know. It's podcast at ocpod.com.
Mosquito at ocpod.com.
Yes, mosquito.com.
Lordy.
But no, yes, you can email us, by the way. We probably should have checked emails because we did throw a question out to the internet.
I've put them on. I've done it. I'm on top of things, Greg. Don't worry.
At ocpod.com. Look, we want to celebrate some birthdays real fast. Katie Stubbs from the Entertain Nerds. She had her birthday on the 12th of this month. She's not 12 years old. She's actually turned 25.
She looks
25.
12 for us.
Yeah.
She's
we're going with 25. She might be 22. She might be 21. Don't know. I'm going to say 25. I like the number. 25.
Okay.
Is that all the birthdays?
No, of course not. We also have another birthday, Mark. Thank you for asking. Stuart Lucky. He turned 82 on the 16th of November. So, Stu, you might congratulations. Have
been no, he wasn't 82, but Canada, it's that lifestyle makes you look like you're 82.
Yeah. Especially now with legalized weed.
Did you see Fraser last time he was on the show? I mean, that was, man.
Is Fraser looking
at you? No,
Fraser looks sharp as ever, the red bastard. All right. We also have an exciting announcement. We can just talk about this right now. Actually, wait. First, Mark, roll out some birthday music.
Happy birthday to
you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah! Aw, look at the love from Robin. Yes, happy birthday to everybody. Now, Extra Life. That took place for me a weekend back. I had a couple contests going. We had some code giveaways to do. So I am – it's time to announce those.
I've got some
drum rolls. This is the exciting part of the show. So we had two game codes that were graciously donated to us by Matt Empower. So thank you, Empower343. Thank you so much for donating those codes to us. And also, thank you for jumping in and playing some games with us. Yeah. We got to get him in more often.
We popped his PUBG cherry.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So first off, we had a code for Forza 7, which Christopher Matthew has won a code for Forza 7. Now, Christopher Matthew.
I've got a drum roll lined up here, man.
Oh.
I did tell you.
My bad.
Go on. We'll use it for your $60 one.
All right. So, Christopher Matthew, contemplating. premature drum rolling?
Yeah. Right. I want a cigarette and sleep now.
Anyway, Christopher Matthew, go buy an Xbox, and this way you can use your code. I will be in touch with all the winners, by the way, so they don't even know this yet. This is like hot off the press stuff. Also, we had a Forza Horizon 4 code to give away, and that is going to the Carr family. So congratulations to them.
Really?
Forza Horizon 4. And last, but certainly not least, this is cars for cars. Yes. This is going to happen real time. So I'm going to generate a number now between 1 and 55. That number is 40. Holy crap. So I got to do some counting. This was literally as we speak here.
You got a drum roll to fill some time.
Do you want?
Sure.
Good job. Lesson 5.
That's all you're getting.
33, 10, 15, yeah. 21. 24.
Bear with. 18. Do a little filler. Talk about, actually, why don't you, real quickly, Robin?
He's a dickhead.
Mark, talk about your Extra Life plans, because we do need to get that out in the open and figure out what's going on with that. And then
mine's nice and easy. I haven't got any yet. I keep putting it off because of family stuff. So I might, depending on when Robin's doing his, I might do it when Robin does his, and at least he's got somebody to share it with and be online with for the full 24 hours. Thought that might be nice. Unless you don't want me there, and you can tell me to fuck off, so.
Which I find funny, because I said I was doing it with Robin. You always forgive me, Mark.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't know you were doing it with Robin. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were doing it this year. I know you did it late last year.
So the plans are just in between Christmas and New Year for me, and Charlie. And family, so we're going to have a family fun day here. So it'll be gaming for all my nephews and nieces, and open house sort of thing. It'll probably be on the 26th or 27th, just to tie it down with all the family stuff that's going on. And Charlie and I are a bit like the Chinny brothers, but it's going to be father and son. We're going to do a lot of doubles together. And,
are you guys going to dress up in gimp suits? Sorry, blue suits.
Possibly.
Blues Brothers?
Possibly. I'm not sure, but you know, Charlie, yeah, it's a big task for him because Charlie will be 13 on the 16th of December, poor lad. So close to Christmas. So yeah, it'll be a tough reach for him. But he's up for it and has been for years now. Well, so
I've got that Christmas New Year week booked off work already, so yeah, I can do that, that's no problem.
Yeah, so that's kind of the plan. So, yeah, more to follow.
Excellent. All right, well, I'm done counting. Took all my fingers and toes. Mark, can I get a drum roll, please? The winner of the Amazon gift card is the Matsuda family.
Woo!
Congratulations, $60 Amazon gift card. And that actually, I'm very pleased to give that away to them because they have a special needs little daughter of their own, so
excellent.
I'm sure they can use it. Yeah.
Excellent.
So that makes me feel good. And you know what really made me feel good was Extra Life. Our team did great this year. We surpassed our goal. There was all kinds of just a lot of interaction and positivity amongst all the team members. And just well pleased with how it all went. And there's more to look forward to. So thank you to everybody that took part, that supported, that just hung out. We had some people hanging out, helping us get through. So it was awesome.
All right. And sorry, it did this for you this year, Greg. It didn't seem like it was just as bad. You know, you seemed to hang in there towards the end.
Yeah, no, this was surprisingly easy compared to past years. I'm not sure.
I know why.
So
PUBG. Yeah.
Well, PUBG certainly helps. Between 12 and 1 o'clock, or actually more like 11. About 11, I started getting tired. By 1 a.m., I was pretty miserable tired. and I thought I was in serious trouble. But I ate, I cut up an apple, and I ate the apple, and surprisingly, that's what got me through the rest of the night. I mean, it woke me up, and then a bunch of people from the UK started jumping online as well. And so I was able to kind of finish out the night. Just, I mean, I even played past my time. So, yeah, go figure.
An apple a day keeps the sleep deprivation away. That's a new one.
Apparently it helps. Apparently it helps.
Cool.
All right, Mark.
Yes.
Story time.
Story time. Okay, hang on a sec. I'm on the wrong tab.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day. When we gather around his great big chair and
Greg DeLacy
comes Tuesday.
Yes, come sit by the big chair. Let's talk some story time. This week's story time, we're going to start with Mark and some shenanigans.
Yeah, some D&D shenanigans. In fact, OCD and D shenanigans. All will be revealed soon, I think. Yeah, we had our
let's
first...
Just say, let's not spoil anything here, Mark. Yeah, I think that, you know, this is not our surprise to spoil.
All right,
let's just say there's something being worked on.
Yeah.
What?
That will be released in the future.
What?
And that's it. That's all we're going to say.
There's going to be video and audio versions.
Wow, kids. I don't even know about this one, or else I just haven't been paying attention. So probably a bit
I've
of both.
Never done it before, and it was really good.
Mark.
Yeah.
Did it last long?
My magic missile.
An hour and a half. Yeah.
Wow.
All right,
I will say is bloody rocks.
Next story time. Story time. Let's get past this. Let's talk, Robin. Arisen. I get that. The stop it before it. I'm not sure. Is this related? Unrelated? Let's talk.
Well, sort of. Stop it is directed at me. Judith said to me a while back there that Robin, you're in a purchasing mood, and I kind of think she's right because I've went frigging mad this month. Absolutely. So, I would go through the list, but it has got a bit crazy, you know. So I bought a new sofa. I bought some side seats with little copper legs on them. I have bought a Land Rover. I have bought a pile of games. I have bought
Would you like me to help you out? You bought a sound system.
Oh,
you
yeah,
bought a
yeah.
new 4K. Or is it the screen?
No, that was October. We're into November now.
excuse me. No, this is all related. This is all related. It has been one rolling shopping list with you. It's been kind of comical. So listen,
again, behind me, if you can see me, if you're watching, just behind me here, this is I've invested in a princess. I can't get my friggin' which way that way. There's Princess Leia, a signed photograph of Princess Leia. I have the one that I remember I said earlier on this year. I bought a signed photograph of an Ant-Man issue one comic, right. Signed by Stan Lee. Didn't I buy that at the right time?
Yeah,
sorry, Stan.
That is bad timing on your part.
Yeah, it's worth more now, Robin.
Yeah, that's
too
what
soon.
Mean.
Too soon.
Too soon, Mark.
And a good investment. And this week, my Flight of the Conchords arrived, and I was signed by all the cast from Flight of the Conchords. And I've discovered that Mark Wright does not know anything whatsoever about Flight of the Conchords.
Never heard of it.
Do you, Scott? Greg, do you know the Flight of the Conchords?
Flight of the Conchords. I'm assuming that's a musical group because Flight of the Conchords is a movie.
Okay. No, it's not about a plane. The Conchords.
Oh,
right?
I know why you like it. They've got a song called Business Time.
Yes, exactly. That's where it's fucking from.
I didn't know that.
Do you know the dick meeting? Shall we go to a dick meeting? That's from Flight of the Conchords.
Is it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So the Conchords are a musical parody group. They're the fourth most popular parody musical group from New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're the fourth most popular.
Here's some crazy, like, fourth wall or 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon-isms. My boss right now is in New Zealand.
Okay.
So that's just kind of...
has he gone to a...
what are you, on your way to a dick meeting?
Is that where he's gone, Greg?
Yes.
He might be.
So that's their manager, who is, and he only manages one group. They've only got one fan, who's a friggin' psycho. These are two guys from New Zealand, completely and utterly innocent.
They look like the Proclaimers, but New Zealand.
Completely innocent to the world, who moved to New York. And all the weird things that go on with them, being completely innocent to everything. And then they burst into song, comical song, like the most beautiful woman, girl in the room. You know, you could be an air hostess from the 70s. You could be a part-time model, you know, that sort of stuff. Just brilliant. So, yeah, check out Flight of the Conchords. Really and truly, you got to watch it. It's classic cult comedy TV.
Bringing this back around.
Anyway, so yes, so I've had a bit of a great time. I've got some great stuff. I'm going to pick up my Land Rover, hopefully tomorrow evening.
Okay.
Because I bought it for... It's an
I
old classic.
Meant, no, like, God.
No, no, it's not... No.
No.
I don't like Land Rover Defenders.
No, it's an old Freelander, Mark.
All right, oh, yeah, they're not too bad.
But it's beautiful and it's mint and gorgeous. And my father-in-law drags all our rubbish. Not our rubbish, but when I throw stuff out, so as a new sofa, the old sofa goes out, the boxes, the cardboard, all the Amazon boxes that build up. My father-in-law brings his little trailer along, fills it up, and probably once every 2 weeks goes. And I looked at getting tow bars and stuff on my car and Judith's car, but it was about 500 quid or more. So,
instead, buy a new car.
Yeah.
It'd be worth more money, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So it's green. I'm going to get a barber jacket and a walking stick. And then this
and
is it. Yeah, it's the green. Yeah, this is a Freelander.
Is it the Mark 1, the first one?
No, it's a Mark II. So she's lovely. Very nice. I can't wait. I was hoping to get it this weekend so I could start Land Roving in the countryside. I want to get a horse and hound sticker for the back of it.
Are there any other purchases that are not announced to Judith right now?
Well, everything's a third cheaper. No, we're okay, I think. Yes, there is one. Sorry. Yes. Shh, Judith. I hope you're not listening. Mark. Pull up the artist Keith Drury, if you can.
Keith Drury.
Yeah, Keith Drury. I bought a new piece of art this week. Every year I try to buy something, a piece of art for the house, and I bought a Keith Drury.
Yeah, okay.
And there's some beautiful stuff that he does for cities. So there's Liverpool and all the bits and pieces. Now, the one that's straight on there is Belfast. He is from Ireland. And I bought one. It's about the north coast of Northern Ireland called something Bay.
Quite nice. They're like colourful, cartoony scenes.
So there's Liverpool and there's Birmingham. And so I bought a big one. It's about Belfast, Northern Ireland. It's about 48 inches wide, about 4 feet wide. So it's a big, big, big print. And I have it away off to my chaps that do the framing for me, and they're doing framing. So that's for the house, really. But that's a lovely, lovely, nice. It's a nice thing for the house.
Right.
Was she impressed?
What you should do, is you should go out and buy... get a poster. Probably you can find something online of one, a naked lady print, and frame that up in a big, put it in a cheap frame. It doesn't have to be a nice frame or whatever. And say, and wrap it.
Yes.
For Christmas. Uh-huh. And give that to Judith. Say, I got this for the house.
I put the Keith Drury print behind it.
And then when she opens it, obviously you can give her the real one behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking about giving it to the boys so that they could give me a little bit of money towards it.
They'd prefer the naked woman.
Their Christmas, they might prefer Samantha Fox or something out there on it, or Linda Lucy.
Well, if you go with the naked chick, then you could, get more money out of them.
Yeah, so it's that time of year. Anyway, so that's me. I've been having a great time. It sounds bad, but the Land Rover is not brand new. I haven't spent £50,000 on a Land Rover. It's an old Land Rover, but it's still nice.
£41,000.
It's nice to have. The painting was nice. The sofa was required. because the big L-shaped one is coming out of the sunroom, and I wanted something nice around there with a bed settee for when you come, Greg, as well, for that. Hey.
Robin, you work hard. Mm. There's nothing wrong with you spending a little bit of the fruits of the labor.
Do you know what I really want to go to, UK people? There is a tour going around the UK at the moment, which is a Star Wars concert with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Mm. And they're playing the original Star Wars Episode 4.
Right.
Yeah, on a big, massive screen. But the London Philharmonic are there doing the orchestral live.
I bet that's pretty awesome.
Now, wouldn't that be fucking awesome with a live, full orchestra? Watching the big screen? Yeah. Now, they're coming to Dublin. Unfortunately, it's a school night. But they are. The tour is going. It's in November before Christmas time. So Liverpool, Glasgow, all over. That would be awesome to go to. So look that up. Star Wars, London Orchestra. I'm sure they'll get it. Google's your friend.
I'm looking forward to next year's Bongo Fest. Because that you're having a marquee put up on the odd 200 acres you've got them. And we're all coming over, aren't we?
That's funny. I was talking to Judith today, saying, "Like, wouldn't it be great if we got a big marquee up in the side of the garden for Christmas time, for Christmas Day, and we could put up, they're going to have in here, and they can put up the table tennis over there, or maybe we could get some big long tables for, because there's about 30 of us when we get together for Christmas Day, to do like a medieval Christmas dinner on a big long table in a marquee. That would be cool. Christmas Day. Feast,
feast,
cards and stuff. So yeah, maybe I can't see it happening, but that'll be cool. But yes, yeah, like the truck fest, Mark.
Yeah,
next summer, get yous all over in tents in the garden. Get some porta toilets and a porta cabin bathroom.
Well, not end well for you, Robin.
Get your projector on the big screen up. We'll all be drinking and playing games.
Wouldn't that be class?
It'd be ace, yeah.
So sorry, listeners.
We're derailing here. So let's move on. Anything else, Robin? Before we pass the buck.
No, that's it. I think I've got enough. My string is almost back inside me again.
Nicole, what's going on your side of the woods?
Mostly just holiday prep. My neighbors are weird, and like there are already Christmas trees up and have been.
Oh God,
Christmas
I hate that.
Lights up. Like, I put them up, but I don't turn them on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's half as bad.
But it has gotten crazy. But no, now we're just getting ready for Thanksgiving. So I've done all my pre-shopping to get my pies ready. And we're going to do a little extra chocolate pies and mini pies and stuff this year. Surprise my kids. And then my parents, because, you know, my parents are who they are. We always pull in all the stragglers, so to make extra pies this year, which I'm actually looking forward to.
That sounds like a nice time.
I did want to explain. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is this Thanksgiving or is this just Christmas in general?
This is Thanksgiving. I'm holiday at a time.
That's what I like about you. We're good.
One holiday at a time. Like, we just got over Halloween, thank God. I know how much you love it, but I'm like, I still got candy. I'm taking it to school for all the teachers to, like, dive into, because I still have candy. And I'm like, I don't want it. That holiday is done. We have moved on. I want a new holiday. So, but I did want to explain why I wasn't around for 500, because I know it was so monumentous, and somebody's actually asked me about it. So, because it was a monumentous thing, and I really did feel bad not being there. But previously, I had gotten my doctor actually called me personally to tell me that they were sending me to go get biopsies, one for skin cancer and one.
Hey, Nicole, I'm calling you personally. Really? Did he, like, hi, Nicole? This is a serious matter now, isn't it? I shouldn't be really joking about this. This is dark gallows humor. I'll keep quiet. I'm going to mute myself now.
Oh, well, there's a first. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love you, Robin. But so I had the biopsy for the skin cancer, and it came back benign. and it gave me a little more confidence. I still have to wait for the biopsy for the throat cancer. But I'm like, I don't hear what y'all hear, but voice-wise, and nobody does. It's just the way it is. But I don't like to hear myself back, but I like how I sound in my head, if that makes any sense. And I don't want that screwed up by having cancer. So as far as I'm concerned, I can't have it. So I've already determined it's not going
to happen. Oh, come on. Look, I don't care if you sound like Kermit the Frog. I don't want you to have cancer of any shape, form, whatsoever.
Yes.
You can sound like Kermit on speed with his balls grabbed by Mark. I don't care. If that's what it takes to make you healthy, that's fine by me.
My gut feeling is...
I just keep my shit together that weekend to not say...
Nicole, yeah. We talked. It was totally fine and understandable. Not a worry. We are all in your corner, obviously. And as I noted before, this is likely just the doctors making you two tests because they need to get paid. So they got to figure out some way to generate some revenue. So
let them generate revenue. Just tell them they just need to not do it on my throat. I think that's the only one that freaks me out, because they're gonna, it's some stupid needle thing they inject and pull out stuff. But anyway, so that's why. So for those that were asking, but I am cool. I'm much better. I'm much happier. I'm a lot more settled. That first one was
big relief.
A big relief. And the next one will also be a big relief. So positive thoughts.
100%. You're like I said before, this is just going to be a bunch of tests that you will have had to go through for nothing. Obviously we're all here rooting in your corner. After your throat biopsy, your throat changes for just a little bit because of the shot, that kind of thing. My guess is it'll be a little huskier. It's not going to be Kermit the Frog. It's going to be, hi, this is 911.
It'll be that 1-900 voice you guys like. Yes. When I get a sore throat.
Yeah. So there you go. But thank you for sharing that, Nicole. I know I do know a few other people were asking about it. It was your story to tell. Thank you for sharing.
No problemo.
All right. Well, let's shift gears. Mark, you want to talk about anything after that? No?
Nope. Can't follow back, can you?
No.
I could shift to more positive news and talk about all the smoke that's been around my house.
Yeah.
We're just talking
about fire.
Depression hole.
We won't talk about cancer now. We will talk about fire. So I live about 2 hours south of the biggest fire in California right now, which is called the Camp Fire or Paradise Fire, depending upon who's talking about it. So this fire has been pretty devastating. It's now well over 70 people that have been killed by the fire. They say they still have over 1,000 people unaccounted for. You talk about just, you don't expect things like this to happen in modern times, because this fire literally swept through a city, and you think cities are kind of immune to forest fires and things of that nature because of all the infrastructure they have and the streets and things. You just don't think fire is going to be able to kind of just, you know, wipe out a city like that. But no, it in fact did happen. So, over 30,000 people lived in that city. They all were displaced. It has been crazy. The fire itself right now is about 50% contained. But we've been feeling the effects of the fire because of all the smoke. And this fire is well over 100,000 acres. I don't even know how big it is now. It's generating massive amounts of smoke that are, because right now we don't really have any kind of normal weather patterns. It's just really nice weather right now in Northern California, with a little bit of wind once in a while. But there's been a lack of wind, which has helped carry the smoke down into where we live. And so there's a thing called the Air Quality Index that they say if the Air Quality Index is above 150, it's unhealthy. If it's above 250, it's considered above 200, extremely unhealthy. Above 250, it's considered dangerous. So this past Thursday night, as I was driving back, I was listening to the news, and they were talking about the air quality index, and they specifically mentioned my city, Lincoln, and they said it was 440.
Ah, so, just like downtown LA then, a normal day?
Yeah, pretty much. But no, I shared a couple of photos with you guys that there's you could just see it looks like fog. It's so thick. And in fact, it is just smoke. So
it's been amazing. It's been amazing and terrifying to watch. Mark's showing some video on the stream right now.
We were on about
and
it, that's, wasn't we?
That's for me the most terrifying thing, watching people drive up a road or a freeway with things burning left and right. I mean, that's, I haven't seen a disaster movie with it as bad as that.
It looks like the apocalypse, doesn't it?
Maybe, maybe many years ago, Volcano with what do you call them? Anyway, in L.A.
Right.
The
2012.
Yeah, terrifying. And for, I mean, it's been like a hurricane or a tornado where you watch and this whole community's devastated and one house is standing by itself.
And not touched. Every once in a while, untouched. The random house just untouched.
Now, Greg, is it because your houses are like paper? I mean, over here, I can't imagine that happening because, okay, maybe my house, because my house is timber frame. But most of the houses in the UK are brick. You know, the wolf doesn't bother calling, you know? But it seems to think you're tender dry and just the houses just go up like woof.
You know, I don't know. I can't really speak to Paradise in terms of what their houses are made of. I mean, you know, this whole area, most of the houses here are plaster. So they're, you know, they've got the exterior plaster. So they're not wood shingle at all, even. Most of them are tile roofs. But the thing about fire is it finds a way to come in. And so if it happens that a window breaks open or you know, should literally melt from the heat of the fire outside of it, then once things start burning inside, it doesn't matter. It could be a brick building, but if the fire gets inside it, it's just consume everything.
If it's a brick building and the heat is enough on the outside, something on the inside, once it reaches that flash point, it's going up in flames. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, you also have to think, in a brick building, basically you're a brick oven.
Yeah, you're cooking. Yeah, you're a kiln.
Well, I'm hoping, and I'm sure there will. Sadly, there will probably more fatalities. I'm hoping out of that 1,000 people that are missing, or just 1,000 people that haven't reported in or that is evacuated. I really do hope to whoever that there isn't 1,000 people dead at the end of all this here, because your property, all that kind of stuff can be replaced. But
So. That has been what's kind of consumed us from a story time mode, you know, and of course, all that was happening with Extra Life going on. So just craziness. But all right, let's move on from story time. Let's talk some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, so we're going to dive into games that we've been playing. Real quickly, though, because the month is coming to a close, we don't know what the December free games are going to be yet, but you still do have time to pick up games. So if you are on Xbox, Battlefield 1 still available through the end of the month. Race the Sun, that was hard for me to say, is also available into December. And then... Dante's Inferno is available now on the Xbox One. That's the Xbox 360 game. Yeah. On PlayStation Plus, Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, Yakuza Kiwami, Jackbox Party 2, Arcadio Series, Burly Men at Sea. Gotta love that name. Roundabout, all those games are available to the end of the month on various PlayStation platforms. And then Twitch Prime games for the month of November, Overcooked, Overlord, Air, Memories of Old, and The Pillars of the Earth. So if you haven't picked up any of those free games and they're still available, go out and grab them. You might as well. So let's dive into what we've been playing. Let's talk about some games we have played. Let's start with Mark. Mark, what have you been playing?
You never start with me.
the first game.
Yeah, and you always start with me as in, oh, okay, here we go. I don't know what we've got. What, don't know what to do, or don't know if I should do this or not. Here's Robin.
Well, Robin, right. After the half hour shopping spree tell, you know, I felt I'd give other people time to talk.
There's a viewer in here in this Twitch chat at the moment, and his name is brilliant. It's Avocado Badadu. Avocado Badadu. That's a brilliant name, Twitch guy. That's cool. I love it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, can I go, Robin?
Yeah.
Sorry, thank you. All right. So the first game I've got on my list is one what I've played the majority of previously and got stuck on and I gave up, which is one of Robin's favourite games, which is Guns, Gore and Cannoli.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some good cannoli. And I got right to the end, to the last boss. And I think I played a lot of it and I was tired, and that last boss was kicking my ass because it's in three stages, and the middle stage is tough. So I gave up, and I kept forgetting. I kept meaning to go back to it, and with the pins now on Xbox are now called groups. I've got groups now, which makes me guilt trip into playing games. I've got one that says started but not finished. And that was the first one in it, yeah.
I've got too much time.
I've got games to start, multiplayer, and games not finished. So I'm trying to reduce the boxes because there's lots of them boxes. So I went back in and I dug up the final boss again. I did watch a couple of YouTube videos initially just to see what people did and where they went. And it helped a lot. And it took me about six goes. And because I've restarted the game, I had to go right from the beginning of the first stage of the boss fight. So, but that first bit's not too bad. Yeah, I did.
Sorry, it was Zeppelin, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because on the second stage, the Zeppelin comes across and it's shooting at you. It's got the hook swinging, and as well as that, there's enemies, zombies coming at you as well. So yes,
the gameplay is just so solid. Yeah, you know, it looks cartoony, but it just. It plays so well, and the weapons.
Yeah, the sounds good. Yeah, it's got quite not a brilliant story, but it's got a fun story.
Yeah,
it's like a cartoon thing. Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, I highly recommend that. Yeah. So that's my first game.
All right. I know we've been kind of doing turns, going back and forth, but I'm just going to run through it with you, Mark. So let's get into it. Bulletstorm.
Right.
This is the remastered edition.
Yeah.
Correct?
So this is free on PSN and. Myself, Nicole, Kim and Sarah, as you see in the chat, we keep meaning to get together on PSN and get a multiplayer session going. So we did that yesterday when you kept texting me saying, PUBG, bros before hoes, right. He was saying, no, sorry.
Yeah, well, the hoes won.
They did. Although Mark kept saying we haven't even started yet.
No, we
haven't even played a game yet.
Yeah, there were problems getting everyone in the lobby. We weren't sure if it was NAT settings at first, but I think it's just the game.
Okay.
We ended up figuring out that if we all went back to the main menu and invited, we could get in. So we finally got a game, and it was a lot of fun. I think we got to about wave 14, was it?
13.
Nick had to go, sorry. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've played this. I played it on the 360 back in the day. So you have a leash where you can pull the enemies in the air, and once they're in the air, they're in like a slow motion status mode, and that's when is the best time to shoot them. If you just shoot them normally without getting them in the air, you don't get many points, and it's all about getting so many points to beat the level. As the levels increase, the more points you have to get. And you get bonus enemies in the level where it'll say team tug of war. So you have to have two or more of you put your leash on him and then pull him apart and tug of war on him. Or you might have a team voodoo doll where you have to throw him onto some spikes. So it's just a lot of fun.
What was the little phrase? Is this a dick? What?
Dick tits and ass maggots. Yeah.
Nicole, I know you also are obviously playing this. One, did Mark do his typical thing and just run about without listening to anybody?
There's not much room to do that.
Mark's sitting right there. I don't want to say anything.
Oh, go on. I'm used to it.
Why do you like that with the big fat tires?
You know. I thought it would be more fun this way. All right, yeah, so I'm assuming, yes, Mark ran off a little bit doing his own thing.
Well, so it wasn't that much room to run off.
It's a team game.
Yeah.
Okay, and we didn't all quite understand that how to do certain things. It would just pop up. You had to do it a certain way. And it was so quick. And then Sarah figured out if you hit the little pad on the PlayStation controller, it would actually tell you exactly what you had to do. So thank you, Sarah. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of us would be going for something, and we all did it. It was not just Mark. It's just the nature of the game. But one of us would be going for something, and somebody would accidentally shoot somebody and kill the person we were trying to do the team thing for, or we'd do it all wrong, or so it wasn't like necessarily 100% Mark. About 99%. But no, I'm just kidding, Mark.
Yeah,
no.
Like to shock them, you have to throw them into the electricity, but you get your leash on them to throw them into the electricity, but then as you're dragging them, they'll hit the spikes and then you'll get the voodoo doll effect instead, so you lose a bonus, and you need them bonuses to do the later levels.
Okay. Yes.
Some of the stuff, like Nicole said, you don't, until we figured out you press a pad, there was like stuff like Das Boot. We had to do a Das Boot, and we didn't know what the hell that was, and we ended up figuring it out that someone has to kick them just after someone else has kicked them. So, yeah, there's a lot of different special moves.
Yeah, you have to know all those moves in order to play the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Now, I also did campaign on my own.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, Nicole, I know you played this game back on the 360.
Mm-hmm. I love that game.
How does it hold up? How does it, I mean, is it visibly, you know, noticeably nicer now? I mean, I know they quote-unquote remastered it.
They didn't remaster it. It looks like shit.
Okay.
It runs well, though. It runs well.
You know how I am with my graphics, but I looked at that and I was like, did we really like this game and think it was pretty? It looks like shit. But it's because when you get, I guess when you try and remaster it, it looks a little more hard-edged. I don't know how to explain that. It's just, it
not
just, it looks rough. It really, it looks so rough.
It didn't age well, and obviously they didn't put any real effort into, I guess, upgrading the assets. That's at least what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, some of the controls are a bit weird as well compared to what you're used to nowadays. Like the sprint button and the vault button and everything, it's all on the X button, which is A on the Xbox. So you have to keep that pressed down to sprint, which is not easy when you're trying to do a leash and shoot at the same time. Yeah, the controls could have been a bit better. I don't know if you can modify them.
Yes, you can. There's an option to change the setup.
Right, okay. I'd rather have the, like, a click and a stick to sprint.
Yeah, because honestly, I'm looking for an Xbox X, not a PlayStation X. And so it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Sorry, my brother just popped into my head. It drives me crazy to try and play an Xbox game on the PlayStation.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. So I'm gonna pull back away from you, Mark. We'll shift over to Nicole. So we talked about Bulletstorm. What about Ratchet and Clank? I'm assuming that's what ROC is.
No,
that was Rise of Civilizations.
All right. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no.
That's right. That's right. I forgot. That's been your new addiction. Have we pissed off any more countries?
Countries, they're alliances.
Alliances, countries. I mean, because they're all loosely affiliated, right? I mean, let's call it what it is.
So there's two big ones. One is Watch It Burn, and the other one is the Chinese one, CN. What, I don't know what it stands for, but anyway. We ended up becoming part of the WIB family because it was either that or a different part of the WIB family were just going to out and out destroy us.
Okay.
So, yes, we have made that choice.
You took the knee.
I had
you
to.
You took the knee. That's right. No, this is good. This is like Game of Thrones.
It is. It really is. But I had to in order to keep our little alliance together. Right. Otherwise, that other group wanted to split us off into three other alliances. And
for the North to survive, you needed to take the knee.
Yes. So eventually, I'm going to be losing my head. I can already tell. I will pick somebody off.
All right. Okay. Well, let us move over to the Tate guy, Westerado. What exactly is Westerado, Rob?
Now, hold on a second. Now, you know, we've been talking about country and Western. Western games, cowboy games, yeah? You know, right. I've been playing an epic game, which is all about cowboys and the Wild West and horses and dealing with people.
This is not what people want. You're taking us down. You're purposely misleading us. This is clickbait titles, Robin.
This is typical salesman shit.
No. This is cowboys and horses and saloons and girls in the saloons and doing stuff with the sheriff. All of the same sort of things.
You can't hide from it. It's on stream. You cannot hide.
Let me tell you something, Robin. I know Red Dead Redemption 2, Robin, and this is no Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, look at the graphics of the same. I mean, there's a revenge quest arc. You know, there's odd jobs that you have to do. There's an open world. You can kill anybody you want, and there will be consequences. You know, everything that Red Dead Redemption copy, that crap-looking thing has nothing on this game.
And the Boss Wave guys might prefer this version.
Yeah, they might. This might be a Boss Wave special.
There's none of that horror. Westerado.
All
it's
right.
From
Do you
Rock
sing
Paper
the El Dorado song in your head?
Yep. You better believe it. The soundtrack is amazing. And there's none of that horrible voiceover stuff, you know, the irritating voiceover people. You just read the text. You imagine the voice that you want. It's really good. Okay, so, all right, all joking aside, this game really is better than Red Dead Redemption. No.
What's it on?
It's on everything. It's on everything.
Right. Is it consoles as well?
It's on all the things.
Oh, I thought it was a mobile phone game.
It's on all the things. No. I've been playing this on the Xbox.
Wow.
It is. I mean, there is a revenge quest arc. You are a cowboy. You go out to help round up the buffalo one day. You come back and some guys have attacked your family, killed your brother, and you're on a revenge mission. And you have to go to the town and do jobs for people to get them to like you, to get clues to track
Robin,
down the...
Robin, real quick, I'm going to stop you. So for those not watching, so they can't see the video, can you describe this game for everybody real quickly?
So on a scale of 10 being really, really, really good and 0 being, it looks like, really, really shit, this is about -5.
It so looks like 8-bit on a bad day.
It's like 8. It's like an 8-bit Commodore 64 made an effort, yes, to do a cowboy game. But that aside, it plays quite well. It's fun, and the reason I've been playing this is pretty much time. So I when I sit down at night time, I have very, very little time at the moment, and the thought of Red Dead Redemption 2 is. It's frightening. It's too big. I want to sit down with it and really enjoy it, where little games like this here and the other stuff that I've been playing, I can dip in and dip out quickly. There is just something very, very quaint about this little game. It is lovely. It is quaint. It looks like crap, but there is just something very, very nice about it. And
right.
I think
and again, I can't see the video right now, but I'm assuming this is a side-scrolling kind of Western 8-bit.
No, it's not side.
Mm-mm.
No, it's top-down, in and out of the screen. You know, some of those fantastic shooters with the 3D characters, you can sort of see sort of like 2.5D. It's nothing like that. It's nowhere near as good as that.
It's like top-down isometric type.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no, front that facing. Moon was pretty good.
Yeah, like campfire.
It looks like a moon.
Do you know what I said? It looks like crap. It's surprisingly beautiful in its own quirky little way. So,
so what I'm hearing is Boss Wave Game of the Year, Westerado. How much did you pay for this game?
It's in Game Pass.
All right.
It's in Game Pass. Okay, but how much would it normally be if you didn't have Game Pass?
About as much as $1.99 on Steam, maybe. Yeah, I think it's about £12 on Xbox if it's not in Game Pass. So it's not an expensive game anyway, but in Game Pass, it's Yeah, it's there. So it's cool. So yes, I mean, and it does have all. It's quite intricate. You can't shoot anyone in the thing, and it will have consequences, and they will play out. So if you and so you will become an enemy, just like Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
Now there is touches of Hotline Miami in it as well, because there are certain ways that action can get quite frantic. You have to shoot this one, shoot that one, shoot this one, move quickly, hide. So worth checking out if you've got Game Pass.
All right.
Okay. Other stuff that I've been playing, I went back again, dipping in and out, and I have a couple of times this week. Rayman Legends. What a game.
Oh, I love that game. Yeah.
I have spent so much time.
The Black Betty level is one of my favorite all time levels ever.
I have played that level twice.
Yeah, I love that level.
Again this morning. It is so polished. It is so beautiful looking. There's just so much in it. And they're still firing out content for it. And there's still levels I haven't played. And when I look at my friends on what they've played, I think Fraser has played a bit more than I have, but not much. And it's fabulous. And it has it has Rayman Legends, and it has an older game sort of built into it as well, that you unlock the levels. It's fabulous. Play Rayman Legends. It's such an awesome game. And if it's only to play the Black Betty level,
yeah,
that's probably one of the best done musical.
Yeah, how they got that to go into the rhythm of a song. Everything you do is in perfect timing good. With a song.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
It's superb.
And finally, I've been dipping in and out of the last few weeks with the remastered version of Mark of the Ninja. And I really enjoyed it first time around. Those guys, Clay Games, I mean, such pedigree, like Don't Starve and Invisible Ink. What was that? Something Bastards before it was changed to Invisible Ink. And Shank, you know, they have great pedigree.
Mark of the Ninja is, I think, the pillar of their work, though, if you ask me. I thought that game was just fantastic. Shank came after Mark of the Ninja, and I was disappointed by Shank. I didn't think it was as good.
And people would rave about Don't Starve, but I didn't. For me. Mark of the Ninja's brill. The remastered version, I don't see what's different about it. Maybe there is something different because it was on the 360 in the Summer of Arcade that stole that summer. Right. It's way back in 2012. But it's if you've never played Mark of the Ninja, again, I envy you. It's well worth playing.
I know Chinny raved about. No, I've not played it. I know Chinny raved about
things.
It.
Oh, yeah. Two Mark. Things, man. Yeah.
Yes.
That's Flight of the Conchords and Mark of the Ninja by next week.
Yeah. Yes, boss.
All right. We're going to shift over to me real quick. I'm saving a couple games to talk about. So I'm going to start with Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Help Mark out.
That's another one on my list.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I love the puzzles in this game. The storyline is okay. It's not like going to win Game of the Year. It'll be in my mentions, certainly, but I think this game is worth playing. I don't know if it was worth buying day one as opposed to maybe holding off and getting it on a sale. It is definitely, though, worth giving it a go. I am, however, right now stuck. You can take on side quest challenges that are what's nice is when you do a side tomb, they are just, you know, puzzles. It's just, you know, puzzling your way through to find treasure. And so I came across this one. It turns out it's a pirate ship that's hidden in this cave. It's just really cool. Visually just awesome. And I get in there and I'm going through and the game will checkpoint you from time to time. And I climbed up this one mast and I thought I was basically taking myself in the direction to complete the puzzle. I don't know what to do right now. I don't know where to go, what to do next. The problem is I can't get off this mast. If I jump or try and go somewhere, I die. And for whatever dumb reason, I can't climb back down the mast. So I feel like I'm either in some weird glitch and or I'm just not getting something very obvious that's probably, you know, the obvious answer is there, but I'm just not picking up on it. But I spent a good 20 minutes trying to figure out how to get off this stupid mast of this pirate ship. I can't for the life of me figure it out. And I've died repeatedly. And the problem is the game is just checkpointing me back into the same spot. So I don't want to go back and reload a whole level. So I'm hoping I can figure this out sometime soon. But yeah, so Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I'm itching to play this.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that, Nicole?
I said, I feel your pain. That's why I quit playing the other Tomb Raider, is I got to a point where I was up on top of a building, and I know I'm supposed to do something simple, but there's only like one way down, and it's death. And I know that's not the point of the game, is to just sit right there, come up, climb all the way up there just to die. And it was so long of a break in between. And I usually save two times. Like, right, I'll save at the beginning of a section, and then I'll go back and save intermittently. And I'll just go back and forth between two saves in case something like that happens. And that would be the one time I didn't do it.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was
Greg, what you actually do is you jump back over to the rock wall, and if I remember correctly, you go round a bit and then jump back onto the central mast.
You actually
not the mast, the horizontal thing from which the seal hangs.
That very well may be what I need to do.
Well, that's what
YouTube.
It says here. It says right that there.
Right. My other option though is
Sarah says it too.
Yeah, but I also can actually lower the difficulty settings on the exploration. I didn't even think about that. I've got that set to hard.
You can't see villages, can you?
Yeah. So I can do some finagling of the difficulty settings. Maybe that'll help. Who knows? Either way, I'm still enjoying it.
For finagling.
Yes, that's a good word. But I like the challenge the game presents, especially the way I have it set up on the difficulty settings. So enjoying that.
Is the bow and arrow as satisfying as the other two games? Because I loved using that in the other two games.
It is. You know, the funny thing about Shadow of the Tomb Raider, combat not nearly as heavy as the previous game.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good thing in my opinion. The previous game had a lot of combat. It kind of was doing the Uncharted, I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
This, you still do a heavy dose of killing, but it's much more interspersed. You're not coming across it nearly as often. And it's just a lot more exploration and tomb raiding, for lack of a better way to put it.
Right. Okay.
So let's talk about Battlefield 5.
Ugh. I've heard a lot of bad things about this.
Yeah, I gave the trial a go during my Extra Life. So I just played single player. I did not touch the multiplayer. I was really kind of, you know, for me, Battlefield 5 was going to potentially fill a little bit of the missing Call of Duty campaign. You know, I like Battlefield games and I like Call of Duty games primarily because I like to play through their story modes. I'm not huge into the multiplayer for either of these games. So to me, they kind of win me over if they have good stories or something that might interest me. So Call of Duty obviously did not have that this year. So I looked at Battlefield and I thought, okay, I really enjoyed Battlefield 1, the way they did the little vignette stories. So really was looking forward to what Battlefield 5 was going to have to offer. So jump in, start playing, and you kind of sit through an opening intro that's about 10 minutes long. Turns out they consider that one of the story missions.
Yeah.
And there's only,
I heard someone,
my understanding,
it must have cost them like $2 or $3 million for that.
Yeah. That was a little off-putting. And then I played through most of the first actual gameplay story mission. And I got to tell you, as beautiful as the game is, and it does look gorgeous, it had a few little hiccup bugs here and there where, like, you know, characters would land funny and then they would be like hanging in the air, flapping about, that kind of thing. But more than anything, it just felt like a lot more of the same. And I just walked away from it being really uninspired, and I will not pick up Battlefield 5 now. It's not on my list of wants. And I'm sad to say that because I thought this would maybe be that game that gave me that story mode that I was looking forward to, and it just isn't. It isn't at all.
I was never going to pick it up. EA Access, eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that obviously will be where I play through the rest of the story mission when and if I do. The gunplay doesn't feel exciting to me. It feels like more of the same. It feels like playing Battlefield 1 with some slightly different skins, And
be brave. One of them needs to be brave and take a rest for a couple of years. Or are they still selling gangbusters? Again, I go back to EGX this year, Mark, where they usually have a massive, massive stand and booth, and they had just an average size of a stand.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Fortnite, we joked about the thing we'll talk about it later on, the map for E3 for next year.
Yeah.
You know?
But
90% of it's taken up by Fortnite. So, you know,
but, they have. Call of Duty has sold gangbusters, even though it hasn't even got a single player now. It's still sold shit ton of copies.
So, yeah, and I wanted to talk about that. So, you know, at least my thought on this is Call of Duty was headed towards a disastrous launch. And they got smart. They quickly were able to basically pull out of their asses the blackout mode, which, I mean, they straight up looked at PUBG and they said, let's pretty much put everything they have in there, put it in Call of Duty, we'll Call of Duty-ify it, we'll make a couple wrinkles to it, and we're going to create this Doom mode, and that really saved Call of Duty, because Blackout is what everybody talks about when they talk about Call of Duty.
And pray Battlefield, tell, did Battlefield 5 do what?
No. Battlefield 5, well, they tried, and then they delayed their Battle Royale mode. It's not even coming out till next year.
March next year, at the earliest.
And it's not even a true Battle Royale mode, you know, not that it needed it, but maybe it did. You know, it's hard to say at this point because I think Battlefield is going to get taken to the cleaners this year. They are going to have horrible sales. I really feel like this, out of this two series, Battlefield's going to take a hiatus. They'll shelve that for a while, I bet, for at least a couple years. And Call of Duty, unfortunately, we're going to get the same thing next year. They're going to come out with another version of a Call of Duty campaignless game with Blackout coming back. It'll be a new Blackout mode, and you know, that will be it.
Funny, you know, on Metacritic, not that it's a very loose guide, but they both have a meta score from Metacritic. You can't, user scores are, for games like this, not worth looking at. But they both have an 84 rating for Metacritic as far as the game quality is concerned.
I've got a free tip for EA and DICE. Like Greg says, kill it for a couple of years, then come back with a new Bad Company game. That's what I'd buy.
Yeah.
Mm.
As would I. All right. Reboot
Aliens, Colony Marines again. You know, that's money in the bag.
You know what? Look, I'm all for the rebooting of Aliens Colonial Marines and giving it to a proper developer with a good budget behind it. Mm-hmm. Do not give it back to Gearbox. Do not make the abomination that they made with Alien Colonial Marines. Make something quality, worthwhile. And I'm on that. I'm all over that because I love that universe. So
it's a dry heat, man.
Oh, we're all dead now, man. Mark.
Yes.
We played some PUBG.
We did. We played a lot of PUBG.
Yes. We've played a lot of PUBG. The bug is back with you.
Yes.
The bug has never left me.
Yeah, it left me for a little bit, but yeah, I've got it back now. I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm back watching Hype Zone on Mixer when I'm not playing it. I love watching that, and I get a few tips and tricks. Like we've been mentioning, there's a lot of people now, when you're in a full squad, two teams of two, flanking. That seems to be the new tactic. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, and tactics certainly, I think, is the right thing to talk about. We've seen a lot of different teams employing tactics to their squads. They also have a new survival system. I think about a month or so.
Rewards, yeah.
Yeah. And we've also seen an influx of new players. We played with Empower, Empower 343, had yet to ever play a game with him. We were playing with Ordy, and I forgot the gentleman's name, but one of his friends who never played games before bought an Xbox and bought PUBG and is playing that, you know. So we've been having some good time with some new players. I played a game with a random for the first time the other night. Yeah, that was unusual. And nice guy. It was Elite something was his name, but oh, anyway.
Yeah, but was that other guy? Was it Rebel?
Rebel.
No, but another someone brought in called Rebel. Can't remember who it was.
Oh.
Yeah, it sent me a friend request anyway. We played with Pete Chin.
Yep, Pete Chin.
My nephews have been on.
The better half of the Chin family.
Yeah.
The better half.
Well, he shows up to game. I'm just saying, Mike accused me of cheating on him with his brother, and I said, "You left me no choice, Mike. You are nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Your brother, Pete Chin, also known as
hang on.
Yeah,
oh, shit. Hang on.
Yeah, when was Extra Life? When was that? It was like several weeks ago, wasn't it? You know the auction that I won. You know the Retro Pie all modified.
Right,
looking
right.
forward to playing with. You know this maybe this weekend. Maybe it been time enough. No, it's not. Hasn't arrived yet. No. You know, he messaged me earlier on this week. Yeah, I'm sending it today.
Right.
Yeah. Checks very, very mail, slow Robin. Post from Wolverhampton. Yeah.
Yeah. Checks in the mail. Anyway, so PUBG continues to be fun. And we want to get some custom games going. So you can actually set up private matches now. It only takes two people to set a private match up, and you can wait for people to come in. And you need at least 10 players to actually start the game. But we actually feel confident.
Ginger balls.
Found it.
Yep, ginger balls. We've got enough of a player base. We can start getting some custom games going. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Robin, you actually might be able to kill somebody in one of those. In fact, Robin, you played with us, and I think we're drunk off your ass when you were playing with us.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
He just jumped in a buggy and was driving around him.
Oh, that was fun. No, I wasn't drunk. I was just high on life. Yeah, that was good.
All right,
I'm not going to turn in the chat. You know what? I'm bored of PUBG. I love it that you get so much out of it, but I really do think it's just a bug hunt. You know, damn it, man, are these xenomorphs? No, sorry, sidetracked again. It's just go around, get stuff. Does anybody have any 7.7.2? Does anybody have any bras that are 32B? I mean, for God's sake, God, guys. It's just, and then it's like 30 seconds of fun at the end of it, and then you're back to the same thing again.
I'm proud of you, Rob, because you call this 7.7.2.
Is it right?
It does that on purpose.
7.7.0.
Is it 7.7.0? Yeah, because I mean, we were playing.
7.7.2 was right.
And so I jumped into the car and used myself as bait. I rolled down to the hill. And, what are you doing? What is he doing now? I'm drawing fire. I was so fucking bored.
But it was fun.
Yes, it was fun. We had fun. Fun. It just seems like a different type of grind to me. That
it's not for everybody.
Collecting stuff for 30 seconds. I've said it before, it's like sex. It's 10 or 15 minutes of build up, you know, if you're lucky. And then 5 seconds of, was that good for you? I don't know. So PUBG for wife.
I have to remember that. All right, last game. Red Dead Redemption 2. Mark, you and I both have been putting a lot of time into this.
Yeah.
Robin is afraid to put time into this. Shame on you, Robin. You should. Nicole, I don't know if you're on board with Red Dead Redemption 2 or not.
I'll be back.
I will be.
All right. Will be. Yeah. Well, I couldn't remember if you liked the first one or not. It's been a while since we talked.
Shit out of that game.
Okay. All right.
That's where the whole joke... with the where the ground meets the snow came from, it was my stupid mouth, because I was trying to explain where to go hunt beavers. Oh God, here we go.
I
had told one of our friends that it was where the snow meets the ground. Sorry, where the snow meets the ground, and they ran over me with that whole thing because. It
nice
just anyway
beaver.
Got stupid.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just had it stuffed.
Yes, there you
Not
go, folks.
Not that kind of beaver.
If you need to find a beaver, go to where the snow meets the ground. the game continues to amaze me. I have been clipping a whole bunch of stuff of late, recording some screenshots as well as a few different recordings. Just the random things you come across, and I know some people are criticizing this game for being too big. A lot of people don't like the controls, and I will say the controls can be fiddly.
Yeah, a bit junky.
They're not the greatest. But the story, the moment-to-moment stuff in this game, and the visual just the world that they have been able to portray in a game is like no other I've seen. It truly is breathtaking at times. And then you just have these incredible moments. I'm cruising through town and I stumble upon a public hanging. And right. And they literally hung the guy. I see the bottom of the platform drop and the guy just hangs and his family's crying it was just this crazy. I could have,
yeah.
But then I would have died, so I didn't. But there's just these insane moment-to-moment things. I came across the Ku Klux Klan in the middle of the woods.
I've done that.
I
threw some dynamite in and killed like majority of them in one go. Dynamite is my new favorite thing in this game.
I actually just sat back and watched the whole scene play out, and it was hysterically funny. And I'm not going to say how that scene plays out in case you play it and you come across it, listeners. So,
maybe you should have suggested therapy or some support group for them rather than killing them.
True, Mark. True. the violence is never an option unless it's me. I'm bipolar in this game. Straight up freaking bipolar. Like the random person I came across on the road, I'll help out. On the next like turn of the road, a guy will be walking by, and if he gives me like a dirty look or he says something snide to me, dude is dead. And so I can't. My morality meter is shifting towards evil. It is on the wrong side of good. I'll just put it that way.
Let me ask you something about that. Do you have a hard time doing that? Because remember the Fable days? Did you ever play Fable?
Yeah.
I have the hardest time being an evil person. Like, I couldn't do that as a character. It made me so crazy. Are you having fun being evil, and is it easy for you to do?
Well, so one of the good things about this game is even though you are a part of a gang and a bank robber, so to speak, it presents you enough situations that are you against another bad group that you can, I don't fixate too much on the fact that my guy is ultimately, he's a bad dude. He's not a good guy. But I like to try and position myself more as a bounty hunter. Like I came across a prisoner that was, being taken by a couple bounty hunters. They collected him and they had him on the back of his horse. And the guy was like, I'm being framed. And I approached the bounty hunters to try and talk to them about, and they, of course, started giving me lip back. And then it turned into a gunfight. I killed the bounty hunters. I freed the guy. And he's like, I appreciate it. I didn't want to hang for a crime I didn't commit. And even though I've committed others. So he wasn't exactly the best of person, but I felt good about that. I felt okay about that. And then I found an actual prisoner, an escaped prisoner. He was in his little black and white jammies running in the woods.
Yeah,
and I tracked him down and I beat the shit out of the guy, rope tied him, put him on the back of my horse, and I drove him back into town to a sheriff's office. And granted, there was nothing that told me to do this.
Right.
I did this completely on my own.
I met that guy. It was in the near some trees, near some water. I shot his chains off, and he gave me a mission. He told me where to rob a house.
Yeah.
And I went to rob that house, and it had hilarious consequences, which I put on my activity feed and on various Twitters. Yeah.
Well, needless to say, I just ended up taking this guy into town, walked into the sheriff's office, and then the guy's like, well, that's something you don't see every day. And I threw him down on the ground, and I walked out of the sheriff's office. So, there's just a lot of things that you can do. And the game, again, just the story, the character development, I cannot understate this enough. It is fantastic. Like, probably best I've ever seen in a game. the characters are deep. The character Arthur, I have grown to love.
Yeah, I like Arthur.
At first, I didn't think I was going to like him because I kept kind of comparing him to John Marston. Mm. And I really like John Marston. I think I like John Marston mostly because I felt like he was a bad guy trying to become a good guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Arthur is just Arthur. And that's the best way I could describe it. But he is a character unto himself, and he has complexities to him that at first don't seem very apparent. It seems like he's going to be a very shallow character. And the more you play, the more you get into the stories, the more you realize that Arthur is a really well-developed character that has a lot of different complexities to him. So anyway, great game. I cannot wait for the multiplayer on this game to come out. I know it's a ways off. But I'm looking forward to being able to gather a group of us and go cowboy.
There's supposed to be a beta near the end of this month for the online, so it'd be good if we can get into that.
Yeah. All right, I think we covered everything. Let us dive into a quiz.
Yes, let's.
Yeah, we're running long. Sorry, folks.
Ooh, and it's saying that.
So who said it best? Okay, so wow, Robin, you actually have 10 points. And Greg, you're not too far behind. 9.
Yep.
Let's see. Mark is 13, and Kim is still in the lead with 17.
But guess who's not here?
Kim.
Kim.
Right. And I'm coming for you, Kim.
Three questions. Three questions that I will read.
Six questions.
You guys have your name, not Kim's and Mark's. And so, for those that are new listeners, Who Said It Best is a game of quotes. Quotes mainly come from video games, but can come from other related sources, including but not limited to movies, graphic novels, and fictional stories, and any other damn thing I can find. After I read the quote and the answer choices are read, on the count of three, you guys will give your answers, either A, B, or C. They're worth only one lousy-ass point. So,
what was the middle bit again?
I don't know. You weren't listening? Fuck you. So,
I'm
ready.
All right, you guys are ready?
Yeah.
This is the Bullet Storm edition.
Oh, yeah. Dick-tits, ass maggots, and whatever else to say.
Yes. So, quote number one. What does that even mean? You're going to kill my dick. I'll kill your dick. How about that, huh? So who said it best? A, Ishii, B, Grayson, or C, Trishka? What does that even mean? You're going to kill my dick. I'll kill your dick. How about that, huh? So A, Ishii, B, Grayson, or C, Trishka? Who said it best in 3, 2, 1? Why'd you write ass?
Well,
Robin's fingers got a little nuts there, and he wrote
ass. I fingered my ass.
So I have 2 A's and a B. I like that, Bobbin Market and Smeggles. Well, I can tell you that there's correct answer on the board.
Right.
And I can also tell you that it's not Bobbin or Smeggles.
Damn it.
It is actually Mark.
Helps, I just played this.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo didn't work.
No, your eeny, miny, mo did not work this go-round.
That's one closer, sorry. Kim.
So 1 point closer, that's right, to Kim.
Oh, I've changed the Muppet.
Still not enough points this go-round, my friend. Quote number two.
Should be 2 B's. Hey!
Yes, okay. Nobbin should be 2 B's. Quote number two. Third bounty hunter this week. Serrano's stroking one hell of a murder boner, man.
Murder Boner, yeah, I remember that as well. Murder Boner.
Was it Rel, Grayson, or Ishii? A, Rel, B, Grayson, or C, Ishii? Third bounty hunter this week, Serrano stroking one hell of a murder boner, man.
That's in the first fucking chapter as well. I played that.
Yes, it is. So is it A, Rel, B, Grayson, or C, Ishii? Who said it best in 3, 2, 1?
Robin's on his
Robin's got his ass out again.
It could be C, though. I know it's not Grayson. Or is it?
All right, so is that 3 A's?
Yeah.
One ass and 2 A's?
Yes.
It's as. So, gosh, I don't know how to break it to you guys. How do I break it? I just ripped this Band-Aid right off. All three of you got it correct.
Yeah! I'm not an asshole.
Technically.
No, that was probably one of my favorite lines.
2 for 2.
I know, and I got to write notes here that all of you guys got a point. And Greg's got 10. Robin's still ahead by 1 for that.
Not for long.
For sharks. Number 3. I hate baby sharks. quote number 3. This ain't brunch at the country club, madam. Move your shit. So who said it best? Rel, A, B, Grayson, or C, Trishka? This ain't brunch at the country club, madam. Move your shit. A, Rel, B, Grayson, or C, Trishka?
Well,
need your answers.
Yet. This is a
guess. Or who said it best in 3, 2, 1. All right, so I have 1 ass and 2 B's. Actually, I have 2 B's. Whatever. Anyway.
An ass and 2.
I didn't say that. Don't go there.
Ooh.
Let's see. So I can tell you right now. Nubbin is wrong.
Well, that makes me somewhat happy.
Yeah.
Yes, it is not Rel. I don't have one of those. And I can also tell you right now that Mark and Greg are also incorrect.
Oh, damn it.
I award you no points.
No.
It was Trishka.
Trishka.
Yes, it was Trishka. Thanks. We're playing.
Mark, you're two behind Kim now.
Yep. Coming for you, Kim.
Reeling her in. Robin, I'm still on your ass. One behind, man. One behind.
Big fat goose egg, boys. Big fat goose egg.
You are not catching my ass.
No, oh, I'm not.
I'll catch that ass.
No.
All right. Nicole, thank you for that. As always, it is fun. 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 Let's talk about some news. Let's try and get through this somewhat quickly so we don't have a 5-hour podcast. Robin, Golden Joystick Awards came out. So the Game Awards nominees came out. We don't have the actual list up.
Well, it's on that link.
Right. So I guess the question is it really worth discussing the nominees?
You know what? There's a lot. Fortnite and off. That's it.
Right.
Nah, there's a lot of nominees. If you want to, just Google Game Awards 2018 and you'll see all the nominees.
Game
of the Year ones.
Real quick.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Game of the Year.
Celeste. Yeah. God of War. Marvel Spider-Man. Monster Hunter World. Red Dead Redemption 2. No fucking Fortnite, thank God. Game Awards, I applaud you. Joystick Awards, fuck off.
Yeah, so the Golden Joystick Awards. Robin, why don't we run through real fast just the big ones, the Game of the Year ones. There's a lot there to unpack. So if you
storytelling, God of War, that makes sense.
Yep.
Sense. Competitive game, Fortnite. Cooperative, Monster Hunter. Bleh. Visuals, God of War, great stuff. Best, no, we're not interested in VR, really. Mobiles, PlayStation Game of the Year was God of War, Xbox Game of the Year, Forza Horizon 4, Nintendo, Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that, yeah.
And the most one. Yeah?
PC game of the year, Subnautica. I want to just point that out. That's fantastic. Okay.
And then that here sort of outstanding contribution, Xbox Adaptive Controller. Yes, fair play. A lifetime achievement for Hideaki Miyazaki from Software, and of course the ultimate game of the year, Fortnite Battle Royale. Now,
really,
this week? No.
Really?
No.
Really?
See, Mark.
Really?
I'm sorry, but you're so fucking wrong here.
Really?
Sorry. Really? And really? Really? Utterly.
Oh my God! Quit hitting the button before I smack the shit out of you.
Really?
Yes, this I will really smack the shit out of you.
Passed you and me and Greg by, but Nicole's kids and my kids aren't wrong. They're loving this game.
It's like crack to them. Yeah,
it is. And you know, we're not that market any longer. But it's a damn good game. It's been developed really well. It runs as smooth as butter. It looks good. The game plays fun.
Which is really? Exactly what I said.
And it's making boodles of money.
For a free-to-play game, yeah, it's making millions, isn't it?
Here's my question.
Farts. Old farts, as we are.
Did they actually release the 1.0 version for this game?
No.
Well, I don't know if they have or not.
No, hold on.
All the time.
Yeah, this is just a mode in the main game. The main game has a story and everything like that there as well. This is just an add-on.
The main game hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Why would you bother?
The main game, by the way, I don't think they're ever going to launch. I think that is dead in the water now.
Look, my kids my nephews and nieces, is like they're getting flossing T-shirts, you know, to floss with. I mean, in Forza Horizon 4, I had it on for a few minutes this morning, and I got a spin, and I got one of the dances I got was the floss from Fortnite.
Well, that's not unique to Fortnite. So, Fortnite didn't invent the floss.
It's focused. I know, but it's focused it. It's focused what it is.
Because these kids at school, we actually have Fortnite dance-offs. And the way
really?
To get them, to engage them... is by promising those lovely little Fortnite dance-offs.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. You're just old. You are very wrong. It deserves Ultimate Game of the Year.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It deserves probably Multiplayer Game of the Year, but not Ultimate.
Multiplayer Game of the Year, yes.
Yeah, Multiplayer, yes. But not Game of the Year. I'm sorry, but...
Really?
Oh my God, I'm so putting my foot up.
Maybe it deserves the most successful game of the year.
Well, I think that the problem here, and this is something that I have always taken issue with every year. It's oftentimes we equate success at the register to success as far as being the best game out there. So I question whether, you know, is it the success of this game that's driving it to be considered the ultimate game of the year? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Is that something that should be, you know, part of the consideration? Maybe. I don't know. It's a question that, you know, to ask of the community. You know, when you're talking game of the year, is it success at the registers at the end of the day, the popularity of a game, does that dictate it should be game of the year? I don't know. And Nicole, I know you were going to say something.
Yeah, because there's a lot of man hours in this game. And I'm talking these kids. And I do get on there and play with my kids every once in a while. So if you go look, I've got some little awards there. But the gameplay itself is very fun. It is very... These kids love playing it. I like playing it with my kids. It's beautiful. It's colorful. The game itself was free, so the register is taken out of that equation.
It's generating money. Yeah. It's generating a shit ton of money.
But it is generating a shit ton of money off of all of the extras and all of the merchandising. But it has... I mean, it's a phenomenon in that regard. And the amount of children that are actually, I want to say, addicted to this game, because it is addicting. It is very addicting. It's bright colored. It's a lot of fun. And I know Mark says he hates it, and I get that.
It's a building. I don't like the building, and the shooting is... I couldn't get used to it. But yeah, each of their own. I can understand why people like it.
No, I like the shooting in this so much better than Mass Effect. So.
Really? Really?
Really?
Anyway,
really?
Andromeda. Mass Effect Andromeda was totally different.
Fair play.
So.
All right. Well, let's get past this.
Okay.
It is an immensely successful game. And if in their eyes they judge that, you know, its success and its, you know, kind of domination of the industry, I mean, in some respects, yeah, ultimate game of the year, it does fit because, let's face it, it has been the ultimate game out there. It's crushing everything, whether it's AAA or indie. Fortnite has been leading the charge through all of them. So from that standpoint, yeah, I can see that. It may not be my game of the year. It may not be Mark's. But that doesn't mean that from a highbrow kind of look down industry hole, yeah, it fits. It fits.
Yeah, you so don't yes, understand Mark, the joy of really. ACM, so why would you understand this?
What is it?
Okay, moving on. Mark, this is something I think you pulled this story up for us, but we found out kind of it was actually through a leak of the ESA announcement for E3 that Sony is not attending E3 this year.
Hmm.
That's a big deal. And not just they're not having a press conference. They're not going to have a presence at the show at all. That is a big, big move. And my understanding is they don't plan on doing any kind of event in and around E3. So that was also something that was kind of discussed because I thought maybe they were going to try and pull an EA, Electronic Arts, that, you know, did their sideshow where they're close to E3. They're not on the same property, so they can, you know, rent out a cheaper hall. They can kind of have their own press conferences and kind of control the whole narrative on their end. I thought Sony was going to do something similar like this, but now it's sounding like Sony is just saying, no, E3 is out. They canceled their PSX show this year. And you know, there's some explanation behind that. Sean Layden, I think, was talking about how, you know, they had been looking at what kind of content they could put into the PSX show for this year, and they felt like they just didn't have enough. So that's why they canceled PSX. They haven't really talked about necessarily why they're not going to be at E3. I'm trying to think if they have an actual they did release a statement. So it says, as the industry evolves, Sony Interactive Entertainment continues to look for inventive opportunities to engage the community. This is in a statement to Game Informer. They said, PlayStation fans mean the world to us, and as always, we want to innovate, think differently, and experiment with new ways to delight gamers. As a result, we have decided not to participate in E3 in 2019. We're exploring new and familiar ways to engage our community in 2019, and can't wait to share our plans with you.
Yeah,
that was from Jennifer Clark.
The tent was one step too far. They've run out of ideas.
Did you see the tweet from Xbox on November the 15th, shortly after? They just put a simple tweet out. We can't wait to see you at all at E3 2019. Two hands in the air, and then it says, hashtag Xbox at E3.
Okay, why?
So one, money. Do they not want to drop a million? Yeah, but really, £1 million to drop on E3, if it cost that for them, sure, with what they're doing, the sales they have, unless the company's in a bad way and we don't really know about it, but I can't imagine that being the case.
Well, market leaders, it can't become them.
So maybe they think it's pointless in their marketing side of things, as far as... Yeah, I know what you're saying, Mark. All this talk about market leaders, but... There's momentum on both sides. This is always peaks and troughs, and we're coming towards the end of that cycle again. And you like it or not, Microsoft, there's a momentum building again there. They're doing all the right things. But anyway, so it's like it can't be just money. Maybe it's pointless because E3 was a trade show that met the different buyers, and they can be just as strong on YouTube. Maybe it's because they want to do something separately, quietly. Why would they tell us they're going to launch a brand new console now? Maybe they're going to have this surprise event.
Or they might wait while Tokyo Game Show, with being a Japanese company. You don't know.
Or do their own thing separately.
Yeah.
Completely. And, you know, Nintendo stepped away from E3 and done their their gaming little newsletter things. So,
let's talk about that though. Nintendo, they sort of stepped away from
E3. Still have a booth though, don't they?
Well, they're back again. Yeah. They're back again in strength this year now or next year.
Nintendo had a booth this past year. They've actually had booth space. I don't think they've ever not had booth space.
Yeah, they've always
but
been
they
there.
Stopped doing their press conference at E3. And then they started doing their Nintendo Direct videos at E3. And I think that combination has been a really effective combination. Microsoft has kind of stayed the course of the traditional press conference. But this year, Microsoft technically wasn't at E3 because they had next to E3, they actually own a theater. So they just held their E3 event at the theater next to the conference of E3. So you could make the argument that Microsoft wasn't at E3. They had a booth in E3, but that was for Mixer. So Microsoft actually has stepped out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, at the most important expo and the biggest expo, the most important, where all the stuff is announced, EGX in Birmingham, Microsoft wasn't there at all this year. They were in supporting a few booths. So there was a big PlayStation stand, and there would usually be a big Xbox stand, and there wasn't this year. And the show was less because of it.
Right. And this is something that, you know, for me, I feel like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft have a responsibility, and it's not really to the gamers. I think they have a responsibility to the game companies that they're asking to put games on their systems.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's great about these press conferences is that traditionally in years past, and they have always been able to be good at highlighting third-party developers, even the small guys, and maybe more so even the small guys more, you know, of late have gotten stage time. They've been out there. They've been getting seen. And I think that's been important for them to have the support of the big publishers to help their games get visibility and you know, catch fire. Without the support of those big developers, it's going to be a harder road for them. So I get why Sony would say, hey, we're going to pull out. And I understood what Microsoft did last year. And I even get what Nintendo did. They're saving money. And money is a big component to this. Being the industry leader for Sony in the PlayStation space doesn't necessarily mean that that is going to cover all the ills of that company. Sony has been challenged on the audio and television side of things for a while now. And so while the PlayStation division is doing great, it's, you know, can't be said the same for the rest of the company. So they may be relying on the PlayStation money coming in to help support the rest of the company, which means, hey, if we're pulling money from PlayStation to support the rest of the company, trying to right the ships there, we may not be able to spend money on, you know, frivolously on E3. And maybe they said, well, you know what, maybe we really don't anyway, because we can do some other things outside of E3. It sucks. I hate seeing this happen because I really like E3. I like EGX. I like Gamescom. I like these events because they are events, and they put the gaming community on a pedestal for the rest of the world to actually see as well.
See, Greg, the difference between E3 and EGX is EGX there's nothing ever announced at EGX. Nothing.
Right. Right. Okay. No, I get that.
So it is a fan event. It's fan service. E3 was always the trade show. The buyer from the big company came along to order his games for next year. That's no longer the case. And with YouTube and Twitch and all the other bits and pieces now, it's kind of unnecessary. It's turned, and that's why they've opened it up to the public, because it's turning into that again. So does that answer the question whether they're not there? No, because it sounds like it's even more important to be there for that fan service. And if they're not, and if they cancel the PSX thing as well, that's kind of odd. So either it's a misstep by them, or they're building up to something really, really big next year.
I mean, my heart says we get some kind of special PlayStation hardware event where they're going to announce the PS5. Maybe it's not coming out this year, but they're going to announce it. You know, kind of similar to what they did with the PlayStation 4. And that it'll be coming out in spring of next year.
I've got a really good idea for them. It's like this book thing that you have, and you have like a dildo, and you move the book, and it's stories, and it changes all the time. I'm sure that's never been done before. I think it's a great idea. That'll work.
Nicole, or a skateboard.
Or a skateboard.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the PlayStation Eye camera with the Move joysticks.
Yes,
and that, and book that thing, stupid book. Yeah.
Has that been done?
But Nicole, real quickly, any thoughts from you on Sony missing out on E3?
I'm still stuck on Robin. Whatever he said. I'm sorry.
Your mind's fixated on the dildo.
Yeah. Well, it was.
I can't believe he said that word. That's all. Yes. That's the part that I was like, "Holy shit!" That word just came out of Robin's mouth.
Yeah, I believe that was the Wonder Book, by the way.
Yeah, the Wonder Book. The dildo did not come out of my mouth. The word came out of my mouth.
Came out of a different orifice.
Thank God for that. Yes. Anyway, Nicole.
Yeah, let's wrap that back around. Anyway, I do kind of see Robin's point about it being a marketing fiasco, and you have to be there for the people. But I also see, you know, how if you're going to save money, don't spend it there and spend it wherever you can to better be there for the people. So maybe
by the people.
The people can kiss my ass right now. Just because I'm just. Anyway, so yeah. I can see doing something later on down the line that's more geared for just them, and they can focus on them. But I don't know. At the same time, E3 has all that publicity. You could be shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we won't really know the true effects of all of this until next year when we're wrapping up the year, and we can have seen what Sony did or didn't do. Yeah. But right now, it's a downer. It's a downer announcement. You can try and stay positive about it and say, well, they're going to do something positive. They're going to do something down the road. The problem is they haven't really outlined that yet. So from the outside looking in, it's like, well, okay, well, what are you going to do then? And it's like, oh, well, don't worry. We're going to do something great. You trust us. We've got something planned. That's hard to get behind unless they start giving something more concrete, and hopefully come first of the year we start seeing those plans take shape. All right, something you can get excited about if you are a PlayStation fan: PUBG coming to the PlayStation 4. That officially got announced. It's going to be out December 7th. The good news for those on the PlayStation platform is that you're basically getting the beta tested Xbox version. You know, the console version, I think, was easy enough once they nailed down all of their testing over the years to bring that to PlayStation 4. So you're getting all three maps at the start. You're getting Engral, Miramar, Sandhook. You know, it's going to contain all the basic major features that have been launched out on the Xbox version. So the rank system, the event modes, achievements.
Tell me, Greg, will the people on the Xbox and the PlayStation be able to play together?
That is a good question. I don't know that.
We were on about that last week, and we hope so eventually.
Yeah, I hope they do allow for crossplay on this. They allowed crossplay on Fortnite. You know, obviously that was a first step, but these are the kinds of games that need crossplay. Because PUBG, while it has a good fan base, I think the fan base for the PlayStation side would really benefit from having a player pool of console players on the Xbox to play with, you know, because I don't know how well it's going to do on PlayStation to start. It may struggle out of the gate because it's already got a lot of competition on the platform.
Yeah, no, I think it'll do all right. I think it'll do okay.
I hope it does all right because I think it is a different game from Fortnite. It's a different game from Call of Duty Blackout. And while some would say, oh, it's not as good, I actually think it's better. So it depends upon the experience you're looking for. There's it is a much more strategic, slower paced battle royale game, and let's face it, it's the father of the battle royale genre for all intents and purposes. So let's hope it does well. Let's hope they bring cross play, and it also states that they will have enhanced support for the PS4 Pro systems. So kind of similar to what it does for the Xbox One X. It'll have the HDR lighting. It'll probably have an increased resolution. So that will benefit those that have that system. Also, it's going to cost $30 or £25. Or they have the kind of Uber bundles, similar to what they did before, which is $60 or £50. So you can pre-order that live now.
The more expensive ones come with G-coins to buy the in-game gear. You don't really need them.
Here's a hint for all the PlayStation fans. Don't get the uber expensive version. Just get the base version.
Yep, get the basic.
Yeah. Yeah. What I also love about this game and Fortnite, for that fact, is that you don't have to buy season passes. You don't have to buy map packs. They don't separate out player bases, so you don't have a group of players that have these maps and other players that don't have these maps. They support this game. Or you buy the base game, you've got the base game, and you will always get those updates. All right. Red Dead Redemption 2 shipped 17 million copies in less than 3 weeks. That's a lot of games sold. Remember, this game, when it was coming up, a lot of people were speculating this game might not do that well. they were fearful that this game was somehow not going to sell well.
It sold more units in its first 8 days than the original Red Dead in 8 years. Get that round your head. That's immense.
Yeah.
It might get awards. It might get some awards. I mean, like Westerado in the Dutch Gaming Awards. You know, it won the best art direction, best core game, best entertainment game, and best music and audio games in 2015. You know, so if it does as well as Westerado in the Dutch Gaming Awards, brilliant.
Yeah.
And the Dutch Gaming Awards are very important.
Yeah, right, okay.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah, any old dike in a storm.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to have the success GTA 5 had, the long tails GTA 5 had. That I don't think it's going to get.
Oh, I don't
know. Depends on what the online is, Greg.
I went into Joshua's room last night and he was playing some GTA 5, it looked like a Fallout level. They were doing a mission with four of his mates and it was like an apocalypse mission, and it just looked absolutely class. So yeah, maybe, but if they get this on the multiplayer going, I can just see going for ages and my posse whizzing around. Yeah, we had lots of fun with the multiplayer in the first one.
Yeah we did.
So if they improve on that, but GTA is a monster. To argue myself right round, you're right. Won't have as good as GTA 5.
All right, last bit of news, and we'll keep this train rolling. There's rumors of a disc-less Xbox One coming spring 2019. Discless, not dickless.
Discless.
So Paul Thurrott, who is a very well-known Windows insider, on their site they reported basically that the new SKU is supposed to be $100 less than the current $299 Xbox One S console, and that it's currently slated to come out in the spring of 2019. So $199, no disk drive, Xbox One S. Kind of makes sense. This is a direction Microsoft is moving. You know, they're pushing the digital front. So I thought this would have come out a while ago.
Yeah,
so.
I think a few of us predicted this for this year on last year's predictions, if I remember rightly.
I still have a problem with the fact, though, that the games are still $60 and they don't have a fucking box.
You're absolutely right.
That's I agree with that. Digital games should be cheaper because there's no shipping, there's no materials, manufacturing process.
Yes. If you're going to force me this direction, which this is the direction we are going, and I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but if this is the direction we're going and I'm going to be forced to buy these games only this way, digitally, then stop making me pay $60.
It should be at least a $5 cheaper.
I get what you're saying.
But if you're making a million of anything, a plastic cover, a printed sheet, a disclaimer inside it, and a disc isn't going to cost anything more than $5.
So real quickly, because I actually have some history with this. So I used to work for a disc printing company. We made DVD discs. We did the packaging with the DVD-ROM boxes.
It's the Electric Blue stuff, was it? Wasn't it?
Yes, Electric Boogaloo.
It was AOL the cost, discs.
The cost at that time for the DVD box was basically 10 cents. 10 cents for that plastic box.
I get it.
So, I understand what you're saying, Nicole. It's like, well, if we're not getting the physical components, then there should be a lesser, cost.
Mm, I agree with that, but I don't know how much that is.
Yeah, I would think $5 would be fair, but that might be too much. I don't know. Well, obviously it is because they're not doing it.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not like they don't make a killing on these games. Yeah.
Not all of them do.
But see, here's what's funny. The ones that don't have any marketing and aren't charging you an arm and a leg for a game, they're giving it to you free, probably make more money or just as much money as some of these that are spending millions of dollars on all this advertising and other BS, that if they would just, balance that out a tad, maybe they would be more popular and game-wise. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think the other real problem we have, and this is a good conversation to have, is the pricing structure right now that we're seeing. We have AAA pricing and we have indie pricing, and there's no in the middle for the most part. Everybody's launching out at $60, or everybody's launching out at $30 or less, and there's no the $40 price point just doesn't seem to exist.
You've got some bigger companies like Ninja Theory who brought out Hellblade. That wasn't full price.
Right. There are exceptions, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But as an industry, as a whole, we seem to be stuck in these two kind of price range areas. And what's more disturbing to me is actually the AAA side of it, which it seems like anybody who's remotely AAA, they all launch their game at $60, even when it doesn't necessarily seem like it should be $60, but they launch it out $60, and then depending upon how well the game does, they either stick it at $60 for a while, or within a month they discount it down to $40 on sales, and you start seeing the price dropping very quickly. And that model is basically they want to get all they can in that first few weeks at $60, and then they discount it down to try and continue the sales going. Yeah. It's a shitty model, if you ask me, because it's not consumer friendly. It's taking advantage of the consumer. It's taking advantage of your early adopters, and I hope at some time we might see that change and they get away from that.
My God, Sarah's $80 for a game.
Oh, frig me! If you look at the store at the moment, there's stuff there well over £100 sterling. Yeah. It's ridiculous how some of these packages are. And again, I refuse now. Like Red Dead Redemption, I bought the PC package. What am I losing out on? Some horse armor? Really?
Well, have you noticed in the Xbox?
It's really shiny.
Yeah,
That was $80 Canadian for a base game.
Yeah,
horse armor.
The Black Friday sale, the two versions of Red Dead 2 on sale are the expensive versions. The base game is not on sale.
They are
ripping it. I mean, yes, $5 off your physical copy seems a bit cheap, but it should be. I think, Nicole, if it was $10 cheaper, that would go a wee bit to it. Yeah. But yes, there is no.
I remember paying $49 and thinking that was a lot, and I would still be happy. Well, the 360 games used to be
£30 sometimes. Yeah, Sarah's also mentioned that COD's still the same price this year, even though it hasn't got a single-player campaign.
We
all presume that would be cheaper, and it wasn't. And that personally has annoyed me. That's one of the reasons why I wouldn't go for
that. Well, the promise from Call of Duty, if you remember, Activision said, well, we're going to increase the content. And more or less what they did was they gave you the Blackout mode
instead of Blackout. A campaign.
That was, instead of the campaign. They still have a season pass. Yeah. In fact, they require you to buy the season pass now to actually
play the maps.
The new maps.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And you used to be able to buy the DLC map packs. Yeah. But now you have to buy the season pass.
Yeah.
They've cut out even being able to buy the individual map packs.
And people have
now
sucked
it's
it
all
in,
or nothing.
Yeah, people are buying it. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, vote with your alts, folks.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the notes. I'm supposed to look at the notes.
All right, Nicole, though, you are supposed to look at the notes right now because we do have an email. It actually goes back to our conversation about E3.
Yes.
So if you would be so kind to read through that email from Tom Harding, that would be great.
I thought there was another one.
Voice, yeah, is he okay that it's a girly voice?
there's one underneath.
Just kidding. Hi, guys. Been listening for a couple of years now and first time mailing the show.
So
here are my thoughts on the recent news about Sony not attending E3 2019. One, Sony not attending E3 is really sad. E3 is better than Christmas, and more companies are doing their own thing now. While it doesn't stop the announcements coming in time, I really have enjoyed everyone doing it at the one event as it made it a really big deal. Seeing that the offsite is quite depressing. Sorry, I got to scroll.
Okay.
Two, I would think that Sony have a big announcement in the works and they aren't quite ready for possibly the PS5. And we did kind of touch on that too, that maybe it was hardware announcements. Three, it may be true that they don't have much else new to bring out this gen that we haven't already heard about. So if they are hard at work on new tech and don't need to fight the console war this gen, which we know they don't, then why not just sit back, let the sales carry on, and ride it out to the next round? And that's a logical question.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's kind of what we were talking about, too, kind of. And number four, if they're doing... sorry.
if they're doing number two.
if they're doing number three, it doesn't sound very for the players. Just saying.
Right.
That's about it.
Agree. Mm-hmm. No, just agreeing with his points.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's about it. Interested to hear what other people think. Keep up the great show. Would be great to game with you soon. Cheers. Tom Harding, Gunslinger 1983.
Cheers, Tom. Thank you. Cheers, that's lovely. Yep. Thanks. I think you're right. I think we touched on quite a bit of that. Yeah.
By the way, I've come to the conclusion, I believe doing a number three is pooping and vomiting at the same time.
Oh. I thought that was diarrhea.
But your first point, Tom, is absolutely right. We love E3. E3 is like Christmas. Yeah. It's like Christmas for gamers. And this here just feels like the Grinch. Sony is a bit Grinch-like at the moment.
Yeah. What I love about E3 is the stuff you don't know about, what hasn't been leaked, and you're watching it and you go, ooh, and you get right excited for it. I mean, you've got to wait 2 years for it to come out then, but...
Right.
A little bit more.
Yeah, that kind of excitement, I mean, look, we all want... The Christmas time atmosphere of E3, it really is like Christmas for gamers. Totally agree with them on that. And it sucks that Sony's not going to be there. I just really hope that they do have something planned this year that will rival an E3 kind of thing. So we will have that moment of, oh my God, did you see that? Oh my God, this is awesome. Cannot wait to see more. It's just hard to be excited for that because right now we don't know that's coming.
Mm.
Also, we did have another email. Mark, I'm going to have you read this out in your best...
right, okay. Or to be sure.
Impression.
Dear OC, I watched a film. Sony are a pack of communist cheapskate wasters who will be the first up against the wall when the revolution comes. Their shows are sad, boring classical music fest held in tents. Great show, by the way. Kim is indeed. By not from Robin.
Damn, that guy's right.
I watched a film.
Yep, I watched a film too.
Moving on.
Yep, no, we really appreciate everybody participating. Tom, thank you again for the email. If you are listening to this and you're thinking, God, I could have written about this, do it. Send it next week. We will read it on the show. We would love to hear from you. We want to get more views and opinions. And quite honestly, the more views and opinions that get out there, maybe that also will help certain companies rethink some of their strategy. I'm really hoping there's going to be a vocal majority, not just minority, that are going to come forward telling Sony, no, we really want you to be at E3. So new releases, Nicole. It's a huge list. Huge.
Yeah, I see that.
Huge.
I don't know if I have enough voice for this. All right, so new releases. for November 17th through November 23rd of 2018. Battlefield 5 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 20th.
Flop.
Continuing on the 20th is Wreckfest. Is this Wreck-It Ralph?
No,
anyway.
I don't know. Could be
Wreckfest for
like
PlayStation 4, Xbox One. And finishing out on the 20th is Warframe for the Switch. And that's your new releases for the week of the 17th through the 23rd. I'm so unexcited.
I know. Yeah. It's not terribly exciting list. But, hey, there are at least a few new games to go check out. All right. We've got play date stuff to talk about. Look, if you are looking for a game to play and you like racing games, there's this thing called Forza Horizon 4 that every Wednesday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, a couple Muppets.
Life aligning.
They get together and they pull in people from the community and they all go around racing and doing crazy stuff in the game. And they call it the convoy.
We got us a convoy.
It's a bit loud, isn't it?
No, but that worked out really well, Mark. Better than I even imagined.
Yeah.
So check that out. Contact Bongo the Sane or Marcanix on Xbox Live and you can join that convoy. Rise of Civilization, if you would like to engage other countries, I mean other alliances, and piss off other countries, I mean other alliances, you need to reach out to Nicole Radowski, OC_Amaryllis on Twitter, and get your Rise of Civilization going. Help defeat the evil communists, I mean bad alliances. Also, we have a Forza Horizon 4 club, but nobody talks about clubs on this show, so don't worry about it. Victor's Achieved. Hey, this is a thing, Robin.
Yeah, I've heard about this once. Finish your games, we give you money in a draw, you put your tweet into something, and your tweets, and then we talk about it and stuff, and then we give you money. So you finish your game to the credits, the bit where the things go up, you take a nice photograph of yourself with a beautiful smiling face, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag VictoryAchieved. And you'll be entered into a random draw to win £15 or $20 for whatever you want. And the next draw will be at Christmas time, near the end of the year. And the people that finished their games this week are Chinny1985 finished Spider-Man. Infected Spike finished Coma. Gunslinger, he finished Spider-Man, so did Mark, finished Spider-Man. Flecky90, God, Dan, did you see the photographs of Dan flying to the air at the wrestling?
Yeah.
Wow, fair play to Dan. He finished Forgotten Anne. Gunslinger also finished Abzu. Batch Gaming TV, he finished Observer. Rain God Zippo, and he's finished Rise of the Tomb Raider. Caliburn M finished Observer and Framed, great game. Morconix finished Guns, Gore, and Connolly. And John Mouse finished every part of Resident Evil 6. And he also finished Roundabout.
That Roundabout looks fun. Have you seen it? That's one of the free games on PSN.
Yeah, it's Greg's driving instructor. It's the limit thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it just spins round and round and round. Anyway.
Yeah, just...
What do all these people get, Robin?
Greg's spinning his spinner. He's stressed. Watch out, everybody. Watch out, Greg's stressed.
Having to deal with you two Muppets.
You two.
All right.
It's time to play some music, Mark. It's time to do things right. Play the VA jingle right now. Do, 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 do.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
I still think it sounds like you're taking a shit.
Yeah, he's constipated.
Fair play. All right. Thank you for that, Robin. Thank you to everybody listening to the show so far. If you have stuck it out so far, we want to give you a quick shout out, Nicole.
If you've stuck it out so far, make sure you don't get it chopped off.
It's been a long one.
Still remember. Nice and not saying anything.
The rain
we've had quite a few shatters today. We've had Robin's favorite, avocado banano, Commander Root, Corazon 6, Matt Montgomery, RCGC, Positivity Bot, and two of our favorite co-hosts, Gamer Girl and Filthy.
Excellent. All right. So if you would like to be part of this and be mentioned on a show like this podcast, really the best way to do it is watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/OC podcast, mixer.com/OC podcast, or youtube.com/OC podcast, 9 p.m. on the West Coast, sorry, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. in Easter Island, and 7 a.m. in Australia. Good day, mate. You can join us, listen, partake in the chat. It's a fun time. Let me just tell you that.
Skip over that YouTube URL, because I've had some shit over the past year or so for that.
I read it.
But he didn't explain to the viewers that we have a different URL now.
I thought I did that at the beginning of the show.
Did you?
You want fucking credit?
I can't remember that. Fucking
I can only give you so many cookies, Mark.
That was 2 hours, 14 minutes ago. Right. It's all right. Sorry. Carry on. That was... I can't remember.
All right. If you want to listen to the show, not live, because you don't want to deal with this crap and you want a nice, clean, edited down show, you can just check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, any place you can find your podcasts, you can find us. Pull us up in there, subscribe. It won't cost you a dime. We're always free. We like our community. We love you. We don't ask for any money, but we do ask you to join our clubs. We've got all kinds of clubs, and we say join the OC Podcast Club on the Xbox One. Join the OC Podcast community on the PS4 so you can play Bulletstorm maybe. You could sign up to the OC Podcast group on Steam and talk about RAM and increasing your CPU speeds. You can join our Discord server, the OC Podcast Discord server, and just talk about how it's the future. This is all the things we do in these groups. So
Thank you very much. Love it.
On that note, Mark?
Yes. Taxi time.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I like that you called it sexy time.
Sexy time. That's how we describe it, Nicole. I'm sorry. It's how we describe it. When I tell Mark I need the audio, I say I need the sexy time audio. All right. This has been fun.
No, I don't want it to end. You know what it means if it ends, Greg? Do you know what happens if it ends? It means I have to go to bed and then I go to work. If it goes, keeps on going, and just the fun keeps on going, and we never have to get up to work again. Promise. And I don't have to go in and listen to anything about, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Christ, I'm
ready. Robin, my dog needs to go to the bathroom. Shut up.
So does this host. All right, Nicole, give some shout-outs.
All right. You can get a hold of me by email. What?
Look at all them fucking names.
Get a hold of you.
Oh, I have friends, okay? Suck it. Nicole@OCPod.com. You can find me on Twitter @OC_Amaryllis. Amaryllis on the PlayStation 4 and Amaranth on Xbox. So a shout out to my darling friend, Royce, because he's a new listener. So wanted to just shout
out. Not anymore after this shit.
Drop Bear, Lizard King, Ziglack, Shogun, Hamada, Grognon, Lucky, and my gals, Silver's Frost, Coco, Blue, Sarah, and Kim. And I'm not adding that other word.
Indeed.
Also, shout out to you guys, because it's always fun. Hard to rein in, Robin, but still fun. And I do enjoy this. And to our other little family friends who are coming into chat now and again. Prayers and positive thoughts for our friends in California and everything they're going through. And I just hope that, you know, things improve weather-wise all the way around, because it seems to be going a little crazy with fires and just weather craziness. So hopefully we'll be able to end out this year on a positive note. Mark?
Yeah, you can get me at MarkAnnex on Twitter, and on all the gaming platforms I am MarkAnnex, so I'm easy to find there. If you see me online, just jump in, mainly on PUBG. I want to shout out you guys. I want to shout out Phil for setting up an awesome session yesterday, which is top secret. Well, it's not top secret, but yeah, it's going to be revealed shortly, and all the guys who took part in that, so thank you for that. And that's about it. Over to Robin.
Yeah, that'll be me. Love being on the show. Love a Sunday night thing. I love the chat. I love everybody in the chat. That's good. I'm glad Nicole is okay and here with us. That's cool. I like Mark. I like Greg. I like everybody. It's nice being on the show. And I'll see you next week, I'm sure, because Greg's not here, and we'll struggle on by. So, yeah, it'll be fun too. And it's nice not hosting, and it's nice just sitting here talking shit. So, but especially I am glad we didn't have to watch Greg evacuate his house or anything tonight. So, and just thoughts are to the people out there, because it is horrific. So I'm glad all our buddies are together and nice. And Canada. Woohoo! Canada. Yeah.
Are you done, Robin?
Yeah.
Okay. Thought you were trying to draw this on longer so you didn't have to go to bed and then face work.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is.
Hey, shout out to you, Robin. Shout out to you, Mark. Yeah. Shout out to you, Nicole.
I should get bonus shout out for not being one of these two dipshits. I'm just
shit.
You get extra life points.
Yeah, no, you do. You do. A huge shout out to all three of you, but especially you, Nicole. We're very happy to hear that at least the first round of tests were just that, just tests. Just to make you stress a little bit. Shout out to the Dragonborn. Shout out to the Halfling and the DM. Just want to say that. Wow, that is, I don't need to see that at all.
Can I turn the camera off?
You should. Anyway, I want to shout out the people of California have definitely been going through a lot. So if you happen to be from California or affected by what's going on in California, hearts and prayers with you. We definitely want to see everybody come through better and not worse off, but sometimes life gives us a little bit of a twist. And, you know, it's about how we bounce back from that. And one of the great things, you know, to come out of this has just been watching the outpour of humanity from people in the surrounding areas. People far away that have nothing to do with California are coming to the aid of those that need it. So that has been huge. That has been great. Shout out to the Game Punchers for putting out a podcast or two and then disappearing and I think coming back. Yeah. But I miss you, Fraser. So I want to shout you guys out just because. And I think that's pretty much it. Look, come back again. Come back next week. If you're listening to this, we really want you to be part of this. Get active in the community. Play games with us. Interact with us. Send emails. Tweet us. Do what you need to do. Be heard. Be part of the community. It's fun. Mark, do your thing.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.